You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
Well, Papa, I thank you for every single person that is here today, every single person that is going to be watching this live and listening to it on the podcast. I thank you that everyone is here by divine appointment. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are drawing people to this podcast because freedom is a core value of the kingdom. I thank you that it was for freedom's sake that Jesus set us free. And I thank you, Father, that freedom is enough of a motivation for everything that Jesus endured. And I just am grateful, Father, for the freedom that you have provided for us in Christ. And I thank you, Father, that you have sent the Holy Spirit to be with us and in us and guide us into all truth. I thank you that we are in a mind renewal process with the Holy Spirit all the time, whether we recognize it or not. But Father, we want to partner. We want to partner with Holy Spirit. We want to know the truth that sets us free. We want to have revelation knowledge be the thing that is guiding our actions and our neural pathways and causing us to live in a place of freedom, freedom from other people, freedom from just the mindset of the flesh, freedom from circumstances, Father, freedom from anything and everything that would attempt to move us or control us apart from the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, that being led by the Spirit is the definition of sonship, and that is our destiny. And so we just thank you for this series. Thank you for all of the ways that you have been walking me through this process for such a long time. And thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace for every single person, Father, to embark on this journey with a greater awareness of what you are doing in their lives so that we can partner with you. And so I just thank you for this elevation of our perspective. I thank you that you are causing us to see things from heavenly, from heaven's vantage point, and that we are leaving the earthly realm, Father, of just being controlled by anything that would attempt to control us besides you. And so I just bless our time together today. And I thank you that you are leading the conversation. I yield my mind, my body, all of my faculties to you. And I thank you that it's coming out the way that you are intending for it to be shared, and that you are speaking to every single person as I'm talking, and that you are making it relevant for their lives, that you are giving them the wisdom they need to step into a greater level of dependency upon you. And so I bless our time together. I bless this series. And I thank you, Father, that everyone that needs to hear it is going to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, awesome, you guys. I am excited about this series. I can honestly say this is a topic that I have been walking through in my own life for a really, really, really long time. I think the very first time that Jesus started speaking about this to me was probably, I want to say, maybe 2009, maybe. So it's been a while. I can also say that this has been something that has been a focus in my relationship with God for a really, really long time. And I think that the idea of becoming impervious to pressure and being set free from anything or anyone that would control us besides the Holy Spirit is a process that God leads all of us through, because true freedom is not necessarily having perfect circumstances or perfect relationships or a perfect external world. Real freedom is the ability to not be moved by any of that and to really operate in self-control and to make conscious decisions and wise decisions and spirit-led decisions and take spirit-led actions in any situation that we may find ourselves in any conversation that we may find ourselves in. And I can honestly say that if we are going to fulfill the fullness of our destiny and make the impact and carry the influence that God wants us to have and to carry, then we are going to have to live independent from not just the world system, but the people and the mindsets and our own ways of thinking and doing. We are going to have to live truly as spirit-led kingdom people. And so I want to dive in today with, I'm just going to share the original word that God gave me back in 2009. I have it memorized because it's been something that has been so relevant in my life for so many years. But it goes something like this. He says, I'm going to shine the light on you and I'm going to set you free. He said, I'm not going to allow anyone or anything to manipulate you or control you. I am going to set you free from the fear of man and from reacting to other people's emotions and thoughts and actions. And I am going to teach you to be led from the inside out. You are going to look to me for inspiration and honor and to be led by me in every situation. He says, I am going to cause you to judge situations, circumstances, and hearts from my perspective. So I think I paraphrased it a little bit, but that's the gist of the original word. Now, when I got that word, I mean, that's a really, really powerful word. I mean, that's a level of freedom that, you know, you can get really, really excited about. But I can also tell you that I was not prepared for the process that God was going to be leading me into, because what it meant is that I was going to have to become aware of and confront all of the things that were manipulating and controlling me. So this was going to involve walking into circumstances that were not necessarily going to be always pleasant emotionally, and that I was going to, I would say stop feeling like that I was in control, right? And I can remember, I mean, many, many years ago, I mean, even before I even had this word, I remember I was walking through just some circumstances in ministry. And I had like a really clear vision of feeling like I was a pinball in a pinball machine. You know, those pinball game machines, those old school pinball machines. And it really was like, I was just getting jerked around and I was just like in this situation. And then it was just like Trigger City, right? Like I was just going from situation to situation where internally I just felt completely out of control. And I don't know if that, you know, rings true for anyone, but I just remember having an awareness of that. So I also knew that from the time that I was called into ministry, like literally, I remember I walked into my condo when I was living in downtown Chicago. It was the first time I really had ever heard God this clearly before. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, get a pen and paper and write down what I'm sharing with you. And I just began to write, and it started. And at the time I was actually in a pretty crazy scenario at my corporate job. And in just my life circumstances, I remember my mother had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And even though I had traditionally been like a top performer in the corporate position that I had, I mean, it was just like I was under attack, and they had put me on a performance plan. My job was in jeopardy, and there was just a ton of pressure going on in my life. And when God had me sit down and begin to write this word, he started to talk to me about the call of God in my life. But he also said to me, you fear people's reactions. And I knew that that on some level was true, but I wasn't aware of really, you know, how deep that actually ran in my life. I think part of it was just from a very religious upbringing where you were just, you know, fear of punishment was very strong in my relationship with God. Like it was a very religious type. When I say religious, I just mean a very legalistic view of God. And so you were motivated into good behavior by being afraid of punishment, afraid of hell, afraid of just fear-based obedience, basically. And then also because of the home life that I grew up in, I had a very volatile home life, and tempers ran really hot in my home. And so you were always walking around on eggshells, just waiting for the next explosion to happen. And so there was an aspect that you were, you know, afraid of people's emotions, afraid of anger and violence and that kind of thing. So I very much knew that on some level that was very, very true. I also knew that if I was really going to be free, especially after I knew I was called into ministry and called into be a person of influence and to lead others in the body of Christ, that I was going to have to get free from people's opinions and people's reactions. And so I was very aware when I got this word that there was an aspect of my internal thought life and of the way that I, you know, operated my operating system that was very much controlled externally. And so, but I also think this is a really common thing. I think this is not just, and that's why I'm sharing this podcast, because I talk a lot about, you know, wishing sometimes that I could have like a circumstance simulator, you know, like some kind of sci-fi machine that I could just throw believers into and like turn on the circumstance simulator, right? And put them in the middle of a storm or put them in the middle of a financial crisis or put them in the middle of a health crisis or put them in the middle of a relational crisis or a job crisis or whatever. But in some circumstance where what they really believe about themselves, about God, about, you know, their, you know, how they would react in that scenario, that it would become clear to them and that they could practice, you know, taking dominion over themselves and over circumstances. You know, I always go back to Jesus sleeping in the boat in the storm, right? There were, you know, the same set of circumstances for both Jesus and the disciples, but two very, very different reactions. Jesus remained in peace, so much so that he was taking a nap and could stand up in the middle of the storm and speak peace to the storm. And the disciples are freaking out, right? They are terrified. They're convinced they're going to die. They're accusing Jesus that he doesn't care that they're in the middle of a storm. And I mean, very same, exact same circumstance, but two very different reactions. And so what I am talking about when I talk about being impervious to pressure is really the ability to stay grounded in your identity in Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in the midst of whatever that you're going through and take Spirit-led actions and react not out of fear, but out of your union with Jesus and actually overcome the circumstances through the power of God, not in your own strength, not in your, you know, ability apart from Christ, not in some type of independent controlling manner, but rather be able to stay in peace, be able to stay in a place of a dominion and speak to those storms. And so I just think this is a really powerful work of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. And I just felt that we were to highlight it in this series so that as you become aware that God has an agenda to set you free from anything that is controlling you other than, you know, you being able to be Spirit-led, then I think that the faster that the process can go and the more powerful you can be no matter what it is that you're facing. And so I wanted to start today in a scripture that I really love. It's from the Message translation. I mean, it's powerful in every translation, but for years, the Message translation has really been speaking to me. And this is a scripture that I feel like I have shared before, you know, maybe many times on the podcast, but I want to read it again today. And it comes from Matthew 11, verse 27 through verse 30. And it starts out this way. It says, Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. It says, the Father has given me all of these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Now, I'm going to stop here before I get into verse 28. Because I have really meditated on this scripture for many years, and I really encourage you guys to do the same thing. Because I believe that our purpose, our destiny, is fulfilled the exact same way that Jesus is describing here. That this is a prescription, really, for how Jesus was able to fulfill the call of God on his life to go to Calvary and really preach the kingdom and to demonstrate the kingdom and do, you know, all of the miracles that he did and endure to the end. It says, you know, for the joy that was set before him, like actually operate in joy in the midst of great persecution and affliction and people trying to stone him, people accusing him of being the devil. I mean, lots of things going on in Jesus's life, but he was able to successfully navigate all of that because of his union with the Father and because he was led by the Spirit, but also because of the great intimacy that he shared with the Father. And he describes the way that he operated. He said, first of all, the Father has given me all these things to do and say. And I believe that every single one of us has a purpose, a designed purpose by God. We have a destiny. We have a vision from God. We have assignments from God. We have things that we are uniquely engineered by God to do because of our personality, because of our life experiences. I mean, the Apostle Paul, for example, was uniquely engineered to be the apostle to the Gentiles. I mean, he was raised as a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, he was from the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, his whole life was an education in legalism and the law and righteousness out of a relationship with rules. But yet he was given the message of grace. He was given the revelation of Christ in us. He was given the revelation of being seated in heavenly places. He was given this new way, the kingdom way of righteousness, which was completely opposed to the legalistic system of his background. And so my point is that it was a unique father-son operation that Paul was undertaking, and it was coming out of his life experiences. It was coming out of the fact that he used to terrorize Christians. Like, it made him the perfect candidate to actually preach the opposite of that system. And I know that God has designed each of us with that kind of calling, and that the entire sum of who we are and what we've experienced over the course of our lives is perfect for our calling. But it is a unique thing. And God has specific things that you are here to do and specific things that you are here to say. But it is a unique father-son operation. Now, when I say son, I am not excluding women from this conversation. Sons of God is an expression that applies to us regardless of our gender, regardless of our biological sex, right? Because of our position in Christ. There is neither male nor female in Christ. We are all sons. And guess what? We are called the bride of Christ. And so whether you are male or female, you are both the bride of Christ and you are a son of God. And so this unique father-son operation coming out of intimacies and knowledge, meaning that this is a revelatory journey that we are taking with the Holy Spirit to fulfill the call of God on our lives. And I love this because the same kind of intimacy that Jesus experienced with the Father, we have access to. In fact, Jesus says here, I'm not keeping this way of living and this way of operating to myself. I'm actually willing to go over it line by line with anyone that is willing to listen. And so I think the main thing that I want to pull out of just verse 27 here is that our source of, you know, everything is God. It is the Father. It is Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit. And the degree of our reliance on God and the degree of our intimacy with God is directly correlated to our ability to live on the Father's agenda and to do the things that God has called us to do and to say the things that God has called us to say, regardless of what anybody thinks about it. The truth is, we don't need other people's agreement to follow the Holy Spirit. But I will say it takes courage and it takes intimacy with God to step into the things that God has called you to do. It takes boldness, because the truth is, whatever it is that you're called to do is going to be a direct confrontation to the kingdom of darkness. It is going to be a direct confrontation to, or it's going to confront the ways of the world, the philosophies of man, and the wisdom of the world. And so you will, in a sense, be standing apart from the systems of the world, the religious systems, the political systems, and because this message is higher than any of those systems. And so freedom from those systems, freedom from the political systems and the religious systems, I mean, those are truly what crucified Jesus. It was the political system of his day in concert with the religious system of the day. And so confronting those systems and operating in a level of consciousness and a paradigm that exists above those, well, that requires freedom from them. You can't transform something that you're under. And it also requires great intimacy with God and a perspective that is higher than what the majority is operating in. So let's keep going, because if you start to read now in verse 28, it says this: are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. You'll keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So the unforced rhythms of grace are freedom. It's freedom from control, freedom from the shoulds, the have-tos, freedom from the I can'ts. It's freedom to actually be led by the Spirit and free from the pressures of modern society. Okay, this is life where your to-do list is not what is controlling you. It is a life where the pressure of time is not what is driving you. It is a place where other people's opinions, other people's judgments, other people's paradigms, other people's emotions, other people's drama, other people's thoughts, actions, all of those things are not what is motivating you. Okay, you aren't doing something because you think it's the right thing to do to please people. You're not doing something because you feel guilty if you don't do it. Okay, this is really about the hidden motives and the hidden agendas of the human heart. And it's about living free from those things, regardless of what anyone thinks about it or what anyone is doing about it. But it's also about releasing and recognizing the things that you think and your opinions and your judgments and how you are living independent from God, sometimes without even recognizing it. Okay, this is about being Spirit-led in every situation and flowing in what is called the unforced rhythms of grace. Okay, this is not control. This is free. This is light. This is being free to do what God is telling and leading you to do. It's knowing what the Father is doing. It's saying what the Father is doing, regardless of what is going on around you. Okay, so I wanted to go to just another scripture that you probably heard me talk about a lot because it's a real foundation of my life. It's the foundation that I have founded Rethink on, which is the company that I lead. It is just such a big scripture that I just aspire to. And I don't even remember how long ago I found it, but it is a beautiful scripture. And it's in the Voice translation. It's John 5:30. Again, it's powerful in any translation, but this one specifically speaks to me. And I pray this all the time for people. But it says this. This is Jesus talking, and it's talking about the way that he lived. He says, I have not ever acted and will not in the future act on my own. I listen to the directions of the one who sent me and act on these divine instructions. For this reason, my judgment at all is always fair and never self-serving. I'm committed to pursuing God's agenda and not my own. Okay, so this is such a powerful, powerful scripture. Jesus is basically saying, I am not controlled by anyone or anything, including my own independent ego, old self, whatever you want to call it. I don't even follow my own will, my own agenda. He says, no, I listen. I listen and I get the directions of the one who sent me and I follow directions. I have reactive obedience. As I hear, I do. Okay. In other words, it says, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. My judgment is righteous. My judgment is on point. I'm operating in discernment. And I do that because it is, I am 1000%. I mean, he doesn't say that, but I just want to say this. What he's committed to is God's agenda and not his own. And I want to say he's committed to God's agenda and no one else's agenda. In fact, for every single person that I meet about, you know, whether or not they're going to do a merge or not, we pray this scripture. I say, I just take authority right now over every agenda that is not God's agenda. And I just declare that God's agenda for your life is the one that we are getting on. All right. I say, I cancel my agenda. I cancel your agenda. I cancel the agenda of the enemy, the plans of the enemy, the purposes of the enemy, any other human, contrived paint plan. I cancel that in Jesus' name. And I declare that only God's plan for your life will stand. And I tell you what, I pray this often. I pray this over my day. Father, I just surrender my agenda for the day. I surrender my agenda for my time, for my schedule. I surrender my, you know, to your, my agenda for my family, for my vocation. I just totally surrender it to you. And I just declare and I receive and I come into agreement with your agenda for my day, for my week, for the year, Lord. I'm on your plan. Your to-do list is my to-do list. And so I, really desire to live from a place where I am on God's agenda, because guess what? A successful day is a spirit-led day. And, you know, I'll just take you to another scripture that I use a lot, that very, very practically in my life. And it's from Romans 8. And it's also in the Message translation, just because it really spoke to me. And I'm going to share it with you. It's Romans 8:15. And it says this, it says, the resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? It says, God's spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children. And we know we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. It says we go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through hard times with him, then we certainly will go through the good times with him. But that phrase, what's next, Papa, I have used over and over in the years that I have coached and mentored people. I've known people to put little sticky notes and put it on their computer, or put sticky notes and put it around the house so that they would be reminded to ask God throughout the day, what's next, Papa? And I can tell you, I mean, I have a very busy schedule. I mean, my weeks are jam-packed with activities and appointments and clients and coaching and all kinds of things and kids. I've got two teenagers, you know, and lots of, you know, and I want to take care of myself. I want to go to the gym. I want to do these things. And so it's really easy for me to get into the mode. I just call it going from thing to thing to thing to thing. You know, and we're just going from thing to thing to thing to thing. And it's just like your day starts and your day ends. You're like, where did the time go? And it is classic, I feel like, for a lot of specifically Americans or people that are living, you know, with just a busy schedule. And so it is not always easy to not be led by the pressures of our daily life. And to look at your calendar for the day and think, oh my gosh, like I don't even have time to breathe, much less, you know, ask, you know, get in the presence of God or spend some time in prayer or whatever. But I want to tell you that those things are not optional. You know, I was mentored by a pastor for many years, and I never will forget something that he said to me. And he said, Shalise, I'm at the point in my ministry in my life where there is too much to do physically, humanly in a day. And so therefore I have to submit my to-do list to God, because I'm not going to get it all done anyway. And so a successful day is you call the people that are on the list that God tells you to call. You do the things. You are led 1,000% by the Spirit. And that stuck with me. It stuck with me. And I can say sometimes my life feels very much the same these days. And so developing that habit of just asking Papa, like, what's next? What is next? What is on your agenda? What are you asking me to do? So that's one aspect of being, you know, impervious to pressure. It's literally submitting just your daily schedule and your daily life to the Holy Spirit and staying connected to his voice. In fact, God has told me over and over again, all I'm asking you to do is abide. All I'm asking you to do is stay connected to my voice. And trust me, it's very simple, Shalise. Abide in who you really are, stay connected to my voice, and just trust me. Trust me that all things are working together for your highest good, that I've got you, and that I am teaching you to have a completely different relationship with the external world and with time. In fact, I just wrote this. I mean, this is so practical. This is a daily thing many times for me, but listen to what I just wrote in my journal this week. I'm just going through a few things, and he just said, well, how is this all perfect for you? How are these circumstances right now perfect for what I'm doing in your life, for who you're called to be? Okay. Now I know there's a lot of things going on in people's lives. I know that there's tragedy going on here in the States after the hurricanes. We've got another one heading toward Florida right now. And, you know, it is not easy when your whole life is an upheaval or things are just crazy. And I mean, really, like real disasters, real trauma, real things going on in your life. And so it seems weird, you know, to think, well, there's good in this somehow, or, you know, I can see the lesson that God is teaching me through this circumstance. But there are people throughout history that have, I mean, Viktor Frankl, for example, and the significance of meaning, or the meaning of life, whatever that book is. You know, here he was in the middle of the Holocaust. I mean, here he was in a concentration camp. And, you know, he learned what we're talking about, which is freedom. Freedom from allowing any form of pain or suffering or torture or anything that I can't even imagine, the things that he was going through, to actually cause him to be in bondage, that he was a free man in the middle of the concentration camp because they could not take and could not control his inner world. It's the same true when is true when the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians from prison. You know, he's saying rejoice. And again, I say rejoice in the midst of, you know, real filth and real prison. I mean, terrible conditions. And so there is something about, and, you know, he would say that my chains are actually good for you. They are causing the gospel to expand. Like, he saw the good in his imprisonment, and he willingly, was rejoicing in the fact that the gospel was expanding through his suffering. So there is a perspective, there is a context in every single thing that we walk through where we can shift our focus and be like, okay, how is this for me? How is this developing the very thing in my life, the very trait, the character in my life that I need to actually fully glorify God and fully step into more of who he has created me to be. So this is why in James, he says to count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulations, that there is a work that is being done in you that is so much more powerful than things just going well all the time. So being impervious to pressure requires a higher perspective. It requires this trust in God that says all things actually are working together for my good. And it starts to look for the lessons in the trial, in the tribulation, in the pressure cooker that says, oh, wow, if nothing else, this is teaching me to be free, free from these pressures, free from the things that would attempt to control me. So I wrote this down, you know, how is this perfect for you? How is this all working together for your good? And he said, trust me, Shalise, I am working everything out for your good. And he said, this isn't about having more time. So I particularly was journaling because I was just feeling the pressures of time. I don't have enough time to get everything that I need to get done today, Jesus. People are counting on me. I don't know how I'm going to get it all done, right? And this is what he said. It isn't about having more time. He says, this is about your relationship with time. This is about how you perceive time. This is about changing the way you experience time. This is about not letting time push you around and dictate your schedule and pressure you. This is about befriending time. This is about making time. This is about making time to listen to me. Following my lead is not burdensome. I don't pressure you. I don't control you. I invite, entice, and lead you. Green pastures are your portion. And so this idea that we can even be free from the pressures of time, that God wants to, I mean, in the place where you feel rushed, where you don't feel like you have enough time, where you feel like there's more to do than there is time to do it, even then there is a lesson and a freedom available to you. And I can tell you that as I just wrote those words in my journal, all of that melted away. And I came back into a place of very simple, okay, what's next, Papa? What's the very next step? What's the very next thing that you want to do with me? What are the words that you want me to speak? What are the actions that you want me to take? And staying on God's agenda and continuing to be spirit-led, regardless of the pressure, is one of the most powerful ways to be, because it brings you back to the present moment. It brings you back to the place of abiding. It brings you back to the place of rest and trust, that if you can follow the Holy Spirit, well, then it's all going to work together for good. If you can follow the Holy Spirit, then you're going to step into the miracle zone, because we know that if you are a hearer of the word and the doer of a word, then you remember who you are. You stay in your true identity, and you step into the place where miracles are normal, because just like Jesus's mom told the guys at the wedding, right? Just whatever he says, do it. And if you just stay in that place of, reactive obedience, where you're just hearing and doing, you're just reacting to the instructions, you're just simply being led by the Spirit in an unforced rhythm of grace, because there's always grace to do whatever the Father is asking you to do. There's an empowerment with it. There is a grace with it. And it doesn't mean that you're always going to be pleasing everybody. Does it mean that you're going to keep everybody, you know, in your fan club, that everybody's going to like you, you know, that everybody's going to agree with your decisions or agree with the way that you're spending your time? Absolutely not. But maturity looks like being a God pleaser and not a people pleaser. And so leaving that realm where you're just the pinball and you're on everybody else's agenda and following everybody else's expectations or being led because what you have to do or what you're expected to do, like that is a massive form of bondage. Okay. So let's keep going. I just really felt like I was supposed to share my journals with you guys as we go into some of this series, because I'm not teaching this like from necessarily a place of mastery. And when I say mastery, the reason why I say that is because you can only surrender to God in the present moment. Do you know that you can only seek first heaven in this moment, that you can only abide in your true identity in the present moment? So, you come back to the place of now. And now is where Holy Spirit is. Now is where your union with Jesus is. Now is where the kingdom of heaven resides inside of you. And that awareness and that level of consciousness, that Christ consciousness, that place where you are like, oh yeah, I'm not just out here on my own. I'm not just, you know, white knuckling it through my life. This isn't all up to me. It's not my responsibility. Like, I can come back into it. That's what rest is. It's coming back to that present moment and remembering the reality of how we are to operate, which is in Father and Son intimacies. It's in union with God, and that we can be led by the Spirit in this moment, no matter what situation you find yourself in, robbed at gunpoint, right? I mean, just the most dire circumstance that you can find yourself in. I mean, Jesus says that, the Apostle Paul actually said it, that there is always a way of escape, that there is no temptation that is not common to man, meaning people are going through these human trials all the time, everywhere. But with every temptation, he will always provide a way of escape. The question is, are we tuned in? And do we know the next Spirit-led action? And this, you know, I recognize that this may sound impractical, and I can trust me, for years I wanted to know, like, how did Jesus do this? How did Jesus stay connected to the Father? How did he do that? You know, like, is it practical to only do what the Father is doing? Is it practical to see what the Father is doing in any situation and actually follow that lead? But it's been the cry of my heart. I mean, at the same time, it hasn't always been easy, right, for God to really reveal to me the things that manipulate me and control me and cause me to be led by something other than him. But it has absolutely also been the cry of my heart. I remember one time needing to make a decision about something, and there was a deadline. Like, I had to make a decision, and I don't remember even what the decision is now, which is hilarious, because when you're in those decisions, it's like a life or death, you know? And I literally can't even remember the circumstances that I was in, but I know it felt like life or death. And it was really significant what I was deciding, the decision I was going to have to make. And I just remember, I just said, I'm just determined. I am not moving until I have clear direction from God. I'm not doing anything. And I'll tell you what, the pressure was so intense. And I kept waiting. I kept asking. I kept listening. And finally, I just remember saying, God, I can't hear you, like that. And honestly, I heard the Lord almost instantaneously say, you can hear me just fine. I'm just not talking. I'm just not speaking. And I remember kind of almost getting offended by that, you know, just like, what do you mean you're not talking? Well, don't you know I need to make a decision and da 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 da? But I just stayed the course. I'm like, I am not moving until I've heard from God. And do you know, the next morning, I think I had to make the decision that day or whatever, I got up and the Lord started speaking to me, and he said, Shalice, the reason that I was silent is because I need you to discern the voices that are not mine. I need you to hear the things that try to move you, that attempt to control you, the things that do control you that aren't me. And if I'm talking, then you're not discerning what those things are. And I need you to be able to tell the difference when you are being pressured by fear, or you're being pressured by time, or you're being pressured by what other people think that you need to do in this situation. I need you to be aware of those things, your own tendencies, your own fallen mindsets, your own, you know, unrenewed mind, and how it attempts to accuse you, and it attempts to separate you from me, and it attempts to get you to do something just to stay comfortable, you know. And it, gosh, you know, that was a really profound experience that I had with God. So I'm going to just read some of my journals today. I'm just, you know, I'm a big believer that, I don't know, sometimes we just, I don't know, as leaders, I think sometimes we keep things a little too tight to the chest. And, you know, I'm going through the same things everybody else is going through. And so I just want to share this with you. And so I start out this particular journal entry saying this: am I doing something wrong? I said, why am I not doing anything to fix anything? Why am I so unmotivated? And I think I was just exhausted. And it says, and then I just was still speaking. I said, fear. Those are all fear-based questions, aren't they, Papa? And I said, I don't want to be afraid. I want to trust you. I said, fear paralyzes you, does it not? And they're like, well, how do I get rid of this? What do I do? And then I heard the Father say, what do you think? Are you doing something wrong? And I said, well, my natural mind, and you know, sometimes I don't know if it's me speaking or Holy Spirit speaking. That's the beauty of union. I said, my natural mind and natural inclinations tell me yes. I should be hustling, figuring this out, finding a way to correct the problem. I said, these thoughts and these inclinations are loud. They accuse me. They tell me that it's all my fault. This is my problem to fix, that I've created it. And if it's going to change, it's all up to me. I said, but my Father has taught me that there are four levels of consciousness. To me consciousness, which means I'm a victim. By me consciousness, which is completely independent of God, meaning that it's all up to me. Through me consciousness, which means I'm just simply a vessel, that you flow through me. And as me consciousness, which means that I'm one with you and that there's no separation. I said, my natural mind and my natural inclinations come from to me consciousness and by me consciousness. They are not coming from through me or as me, which I know are the spiritual levels of consciousness. And I refuse to operate as a victim or independent from you. My desire is to operate in union with you, Papa, to live as Jesus lived, where all that he accomplished was what the Father directed him to accomplish. And then I put that scripture in, John 5:30. I've never and will not act in the future on my own. I listen to the directions of the one who sent me and act on these divine instructions. For this reason, my judgment is always fair and never self-serving. I'm committed to pursuing God's agenda and not my own. And then I had it in a different translation. I think this is the Mirror translation. It says, the dynamic of my doing is in union with my Father. My intimate acquaintance with his voice is what inspires me. As I hear, I discern, and my judgment is just, there is no conflicting interest here. My Father's commission is my mission in life. And then I just had a couple of other scriptures here. Proverbs 20:23, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. In Hebrews 5:8, it says, acquainted with sonship, talking about Jesus, he was in the habit of hearing from above. What he heard distanced him from the effect of what he had suffered. Let me say that again. Acquainted with sonship, he was in the habit of hearing from above, and what he heard distanced him from the effect of what he had suffered. And then I wrote down the definition of obedience, which is a Greek word, U-P-A-O-K-U-O. I'm not even going to attempt to say that. Just U-P-A-O-K-U-O. It says under the influence of hearing or hearing from above. And then I wrote Hebrews 10:7. Then I said, I read in your book what you wrote about me. So here I am. I've come to fulfill your will. I said, okay, Father, I'm listening. My desire to walk in union is to walk in union with you and do what you're doing and say what you're saying. These circumstances attempt to separate me from you. Or should I say, these circumstances cause me to be tempted to operate independently of you. And then I heard Jesus say, bingo, say that again. I said, these circumstances are a temptation to operate independently of you, to step into by me, where it's my fault, it's my responsibility, it's my problem, and so therefore it's mine to fix. And I said this, I said, it may be my fault, it may be my problem, but it's not mine to fix. I am learning sonship in these circumstances. And I am developing the habit of hearing from above. And what I will hear will distance me from the effect of what I'm suffering. And so I'll stop here today because we're out of time. But I'm going to say this part one more time where Jesus said, bingo. Say that again. It says, circumstances are a temptation to operate independently of you, to step into by me consciousness where it's your fault, it's your problem, and therefore it's yours to fix. So, beloved, that's the introduction to this series. I mean, there's a lot that I have to share. My goodness, my journals and my life experiences are full of lessons that I have learned over the years of coming into a greater level of right now awareness, trust, and connection to the Holy Spirit so that I can live free from any agenda, any pressure other than the Holy Spirit. And it's not pressure. It's unforced rhythms of grace with the Holy Spirit. And so my intention and the Holy Spirit's intention is to set you free as we go through this series. There is a place that we can live where we are impervious to pressure and we are Spirit-led, connected to God, and we are operating from a place of being led by Holy Spirit. And we can fulfill all of the things that God has called us to say, that God has is going to be doing through us from a place of freedom from any external influence. So God bless you guys. I really believe the series is going to be really life-giving, and I hope you can join me for all of it. So until next time, I love you guys. And just be a hearer of these words and meditate on them and apply them as appropriate. As the Holy Spirit leads. All right, we'll see you next time. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalisa.com, where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose He created you for, then visit us at shalisa.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.